There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to The Delicious Podcast with me, Jenny Smith. And this week I am celebrating the festive season with Cy King and Dave Myers, a.k.a. The Hairy Bikers. As we chat about their new book, One Pot Wonders, I want to know what makes Christmas Christmas in the hairy households.
It wouldn't be Christmas without the turkey and all the trimmings. I love it. I get a wonderful Kelly Bronze turkey off Paul Kelly. I spend my time planning it, cook it properly, make the stuffings. I'm a super traditionalist at Christmas dinner. Turkey thighs, especially Paul Kelly's turkey thighs. If you can take them, beat them out like schnitzels, you make the most wonderful kind of Wiener schnitzel, but it's not. It's the turkey. And that's what Paul Kelly always says about his turkeys, that the different joints, you know, the drumsticks are one thing. So you can actually portion it off. Of course, the breasts are good, but you must cook them kind of quite fast and not for long.
Yeah.
Follow the instructions. It seems odd. Like your mum used to cook the turkeys for 24 hours, didn't she?
She did.
And it was fabulous. But Paul's, no.
Because you don't need to, because they are slow grown. The meat is absolutely fantastic. You know, that bone is mature enough to give the flavour.
And that's very true. That's very true. My mum, because she had a small holding when she was little, so we always had homegrown turkeys. Yeah. And mum always used to cook them incredibly, incredibly slowly. But they were always amazingly moist. And to this day, I Dave and I have kind of gone into the mechanics of it.
It doesn't work.
We don't know how she did it.
It's like bumblebees shouldn't fly, but they do. Mrs. King's turkey shouldn't be right, but he was.
But
I had a couple of Christmases at the King household when, you know, your boys were little and Stella, his mother, was still alive. And your mother-in-law would come round. But everybody had their own defined roles. The turkey was Stella's. And a snow queen, which we've since put the recipe in a Mum's Know Best, which is like a meringue sort of affair. Is it with ginger? It's wonderful. The pudding, she used to do a classic, the Christmas pudding.
Mum made the pudding in October. Everybody had to stand in line and mix the Christmas pudding. And you had to make a wish. And it was with this wooden spoon that had been in the family for about, I don't know how long. I mean, it was hilarious. And it was like this paddle. So it was fantastic.
It is about tradition, isn't it?
It's very much about getting,
it's about stopping, doing the things that you've done every year for God knows how long. Mm. What happened to time?
Well, you know, Dave and I often talk about that because we were brought up in a generation whereby that there was time and it wasn't eaten away by technology or it wasn't eaten away by a fast pace of life. And we often talk about the ancient art of sitting. Mm. Can you remember there was a certain generation of men that just sat? You could see them sat in the side and just chatted.
Well, they still do in France, don't they? You must see them around the world.
Yeah. Italy. Yeah. And it's remarkable because you don't see that in the UK anymore. I've seen it on a couple of occasions, normal in rural communities, but not not like it used to be. You know, we used to...
We still do, though, when we're filming. The director's dashing around going, I'm sorry, we're going to be 10 minutes. We're going to be this. Are you all right? Yes, we're fine. We're, you know, quite happy sitting there, chewing the fat, having a cup of tea.
Because we quite like each other.
Some of the best bits of filming, really. It's the bits when you're not working.
But it's an odd thing. And, you know, well, let's talk about your book. On one level, One Pot Wonders looks like it's part of that time narrative. You know, we've got no more time left, so put it all into one pot, and then you don't have to worry about washing up. We'll talk about how you've done that, which is quite remarkable in some of the recipes, actually, I have to say. Thank you. I'm going to try out loads of them. But just on that time issue, isn't cooking about making a lot of mess with loads of pans and taking forever over it and getting the whole family involved?
I think for this book, it's much more, it's not just about time, it's about the product and the way we eat. We know that from our website, the recipes that get loads of hits are the ones for tray bakes, for casseroles, and, you know, everyday food like that. But each recipe has to benefit by being cooked in a one pot. Mm. Take an old-fashioned Lancashire hot pot. Mm. The potatoes at the bottom, effectively Boulogne potatoes, cooking in the stock from the meat. The potatoes on the top go crispy. Mm. And we put various things, a kidney, black pudding in it that enriches it. It benefits by being one pot. The pot's on the table. There's a gasp from the family. And I think the modern-day version of that for me is there's a winter chicken tray bake on this with the potatoes, the parsnips, Brussels sprouts. The tray goes in the middle of the table. It's communal, but none of the flavours from the chicken are wasted. The potatoes are cooking in the fat from the chicken thighs. And that's the kind of reason we did this. But it is very good for time. Mm. You know, the ones that are slow-cooked, they'll cook all day while you're doing nothing.
And I think it's also about the community of food, isn't it? Because with a one-pot wonder, when you put that pot in the middle of the table and everybody's digging in and there's bread being broken over the table and everybody's chatting and the wine's out maybe or not.
Yeah, the Americans call it family style, don't they?
Yeah.
What we would prefer to call it is en famille, which is what it is. And although there is a time narrative, of course there is, because we all have busy lives. And as Dave was saying before, we know what people cook because we can tell from from the recipes that they pick up on our website. So there was that. But it's also about the celebration and the community of food as well, which is so important because it's the glue that actually binds us all together. Yeah. If we stop talking to one another, it all goes a bit horribly wrong, as we're seeing, really.
Yeah, and I suppose you've got a lot of these ideas from around the world. I'm thinking tagines. Yeah. You know, yes. There's a lot of one-pot cooking.
Yeah, curries, you know. I mean, it's a whole alchemy.
But some of the recipes do have a specific, you know, sort of, genesis in where we've been. Take the Austrian garlic soup. It's a white soup, and I remember when we were filming Vacation in Austria, we had it almost every day. It's taken us 10 years to get the recipe, get it perfected. There are very few ingredients in it, but it's a cracking little recipe for a really, I think, if you like garlic, it's a really special soup. The shakshuka, the breakfast shakshuka, we cooked a shakshuka in Tel Aviv. A lot of peppers and a lot of eggs and sauce. But we've kind of turned a full English shakshuka. But for, say, for Sunday brunch with a family, and I call it a cowboy pan, the big kind of cast iron sauté pans. You put your cowboy pan with your breakfast shakshuka in the table with hot buttered toast. What a way to start your Sunday.
Absolutely. Now, I suppose it takes some kind of skill to know what needs to be cooked a little bit longer than something else, and that is the key to one-pot cooking, isn't it? You don't put it all in at the same time. You know, some of the vegetables in your spring recipes will take no time at all.
Sure.
I was very interested in the pasta dish, because you wouldn't think about cooking everything together in one pot with pasta.
No, but it depends what pasta it is. And which one are you referring to?
Was it the spaghetti alla greens?
Yes.
First off, you check how long your pasta is going to take to cook, because that's quite important. And then when it's 3 minutes away, then you add the broad beans. A further 2 minutes, you add the spinach or rocket. And then when the greens have wilted down, the pasta's al dente. Now, you drain it, reserving a couple of ladlefuls of the cooking liquid. Drain it. Pasta goes back to the pan with the olive oil. Then you add the courgette, garlic, lemon zest and parmesan. then season with more salt, plenty of pepper. Then you stir in your reserve liquid. It's like your proper Italian, just to get to emulsify. Yeah. But I think, as you know, going back in the old days, you know, things like this, it really does work, but it's easy. I always remember Delia Smith. Mm. She used to do a roasted tomato risotto. And, you know, no stirring. It all goes in a tin. And it's fabulous. Yeah, I still cook that to this day.
It's a good recipe.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I had when I was looking through this was, how much do you really need to know about how long things take to make? So, for example, the meatball and pasta tray bake. Sounds amazing to be able to make this in one go.
Yeah.
Save on the washing up. Great. But would people be put off a little bit by not necessarily knowing enough?
Oh, I don't think so. I think this recipe, it says you make your meatballs and basically you kind of pre-cook them for 10 minutes. So you're very safe then. The rest of it, basically, it's not going to take long to cook at all. I mean, the sprouting broccoli, one of the ideas that we had, like the vegetable pasta dish in this way, you add the veg. I think it was when we were doing the dieters, we started adding broccoli to the pasta maybe like 3 minutes before we serve it to bulk the pasta out. And actually it works quite well. Yeah. But no, I think this is quite straightforward. And also you've got a lot of latitude with the timing of this. Yeah. If it's cooked gently in the oven, I don't think 2 or 3 minutes either way is going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, there are other recipes like, you know, like the mackerel and potato tray bake. Now, you have to pre-cook the tomato. You have to put, it's all in one pot.
Yes.
But you just add the fish a little bit later on. So it's cooked. So all of the most important thing about one pot is that all of those flavours sit together. And that's the joy of it.
And get lovely and crunchy as you
say. And you know, there's no harm in getting in making mistakes. You know, if the thing about Dave and I and the cookbooks that we produce is that we spend a huge amount of resource and time making sure that if you open one of our cookbooks that the recipe absolutely works. Mm. We've had one complaint out of 22 books.
That's amazing.
And then that lady, Dave actually took it on himself to go, no, I'll talk you through it.
No, it was a simple refrigerated cake.
It was
the biscuit salami that Romanian mums make for their kids. It really is the simplest thing. So I just made one and just sent a picture. You know, it works. But it's funny, I think, like, the adding to the pot, you start out, you've got your mise en place, everything's out there, the pot. A bit like modern pressure cooker cooking. Like back in the day, my mum would put the cabbage and the potatoes in and reduce it to mush. That was the pressure cooker. Nowadays, you sort your things off first in the pressure cooker. You get some browning on the meat. You maybe add something else. Mm. Then you go to the final commitment of pressure cooking it. Mm-hmm. And that kind
it's
of...
That's the same with one pot wonders. And the great thing about it is, you know, that if you do, by just having to think about it, because food shouldn't be, and the preparation of it and the care of cooking it, it shouldn't be just easy. You should, you need to think about it.
Well, that's my point.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And I think that, you know, what people love about watching you on the television, you know, just going around the world having the life of Riley, what an amazing job you guys have
got,
really.
We do.
Met so many different cultures where that is the case, where there is a real value for food, where there's a value for time, there's a value on family. Mm. I mean, what can you say which of those cultural family feasts you've learnt most from?
I think Southern Indian.
So yes.
Southern Indian vegetarian cookery.
Yeah.
It's so kind of complex and time consuming, but what you get at the end of it is superb.
It's
in our very early days in 2006. We rode from Chennai over to Cochin, and the food is just staggering. But the palette of spices that was available with thousands of years of alchemy, it's really quite wonderful.
It was.
But you know, when we wrote our curry book, you know, we took the attitude and we spoke to a lot of Asian mums, and they would have like an old biscuit tin with maybe 12 spice jars. So to look at it as 12 salt and peppers. So for each curry, it would be that. So we tried to simplify that. But with this book, again, we are assuming that you know, maybe you are a little bit time poor. It's for the real world. Like the chicken pilaf. That's one of my favourites. It has quite a lot of spices, but once the spices are there, it's so easy.
Yeah.
They're in the store cupboard, it's easy. You're not going to have to grind and spend all that time adding the layers of flavour. It does it itself.
And also, you know, knowledge about food is important, because part of the problem that we have in the modern world is that with supermarkets, everything is available all of the time. So what you do is you lose the knowledge of seasonality and regionality. Mm. And you know, there are certain cuts of meat that Dave and I were brought up with, you know, we'd maybe have meat twice a week, if that, because it was expensive and it was always in season. So you would only have a flat rib, for instance. Flat rib, my mum used to make a flat rib broth. You'd only have that flat rib coming into the winter when the beast was putting collagen on, so it was tasty. You know, women and men that cooked inherently knew that. Mm. Now we don't, because it's available all of the time.
It's shrink-wrapped.
Well, it's just exactly. So it's so, you know, the same goes for one pot wonders, is what I'm saying. Really, is that yes, there is a technique to it, depending on the ingredients that are going into that one pot, but it's important. Because it's knowledge, and knowledge is great.
Yeah. You know, you've managed to tread that line very carefully, effortlessly, actually, between making it really seem like a load of fun. You get on your bikes and you go around. Mm. But actually, you are amassing the secrets of the universe, aren't you? Really, by cooking with people. I mean, there is nothing more important. Across the world, all these different cultures, and you're coming back and you're putting them into the books, and you are adapting them for your different readerships and your different audiences.
Yeah, I think we've learnt over the years now, for 20 years, you know, we are cooks, we're not chefs. We're not capable of, say, running 100 services a night and keeping that consistency. It's not what we do. But we have had, gosh, nearly 20 years now of experimenting and experiencing food full-time.
Hugely privileged.
And, you know, as mates, we talk about it, you know, we just had a lovely lunch today. It was a Corsican restaurant, very old school, but it was beautiful. And we picked up tips from there, you know.
It must be lovely doing it together, actually. And I'm just thinking that you kind of are the last of the old school. All the old TV chefs from 20 years ago, they're kind of doing very different things now. The travelogues have sort of fallen away. You're the only ones still.
Well, Rick Stein still is.
So Rick Stein's still doing it. I'm talking to him tomorrow, actually.
I love him.
He's great, absolutely. But
I love Rick. He's a good lad.
You know, you have been doing it relentlessly, haven't you? And I know that I was reading some of the stuff and people saying, how many times can you do a new Hairy Bikers series? Will you still make it fresh? What is the secret to it?
We try and learn.
We're genuinely interested and passionate about it, because the importance about it, and I mean, again, it's about the community of food, the importance of eating together and talking together and the enriching experience that always is. Yeah. Whether it be a pleasantly enriching experience or not, it doesn't matter, it's still enriching.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is that we continue to learn and we continue to find new. Food is as infinitesimal as the people that cook it, and that just blows my mind, because you never ever stop learning.
After the break, I'll put some of our Instagrammers' questions to Dave and Si, and find out what happened behind the scenes during that cannabis episode of their latest TV series.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs.
Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Talking about blowing your mind, one of my Instagram questions came from Philippa King. She wants to talk about the cannabis episode. Sure, yeah. Tell us what happened.
We had a lovely, lovely evening.
Oh, it was funny. It's the latest rage in Los Angeles, especially amongst the rich and indulgent. And it's cooking with cannabis. But it needs to be done very carefully. So there's some chefs, so up to Michelin star standards, have created these cannabis tasting menus. Now, the people that we filmed with happen to own a cannabis dispensary and they grow the stuff in Los Angeles. Very interested. I mean, there's one part where he looked at the cannabis plant and he said, that part there is equivalent to your filet mignon. And this bit here is like your mince, you know. Oh, yeah, right. And so we just set about to this house in Beverly Hills. And this rather eccentric, mad Filipino chef with eyes like saucers created this meal. We started with marijuana cocktails.
Very pleasant.
Yes. But what's funny, most people around the table were Russians. And
or of Russian descent.
Or Russian descent. They were, you know, Americans, yes, that's right. But the idea of the thing was that you didn't have wine or anything to drink. You had to get the thing. Of course, the Russians had a bottle of vodka under the table.
So it was like, yeah.
So it was like, yes.
Throw me a grand smashing, thank you very much.
We knew it was quite delicate. We couldn't get in a mess because we still had to be appropriate. Or we'd never get on the telly. Mm.
So when you do lose it, you didn't quite lose it, but you did get a bit giggly.
Oh, I got giggly.
Was that the cannabis kicking in?
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Yes. What did it feel like?
Very chuckly.
It's a very, look, when you smoke it, it's one thing, but when you ingest it, it's something else, so it lasts a lot longer. So, it was, and it depends what strain that you eat, because they all have different effects. So
it was very, very skillfully administered and measured. Yeah. You see, that's why I wouldn't try it at home. I mean, you know, I'm sure everybody knows somebody in the tales of when one was a student of making the brownies. Yes, yeah. But, you know, how many people have ended up sick as dogs?
Yeah. Did they use the cannabis or did they use the CBD oil?
It was the THC. That's the psychoactive active part of the plant.
So you're tempted, Si? Would you make it? Would you use it at home? Dave said he wouldn't.
Absolutely, I'd use it at home. Yeah,
oh yeah, I'd use it, but I don't know about the food thing. Yeah. I mean, the belly pot was the one that did it for me with 10 grams or milligrams of THC. That made me chuckle quite quickly.
Yes, it
the belly pork and noodles. But to be fair, the cake at the end was space cake. And we were in love with the world. I remember the director said to me, in his French, he goes, so Dave, can you describe the flavour profile of the dessert? I'm going, oh, it's lovely.
It's tasty.
I kept looking at the lady to the one side and she was just starting, her shoulder starting going. So in terms of convivial evening.
Beautifully done.
It was beautifully done. And had we not been on the telly, I think we would have had a riotous, raucous time.
It'd be so haphazard
at home, wouldn't it?
The term national treasure is bandied about around you two. And I'm wondering if it is because you do just bring total joy to the bookshelves and to the telly. People really love you. They really feel very fond of you. And I wonder if it's because you kind of bring the real joys of life. So you had a recent, I mean, back in 2014, you had an aneurysm, a brain aneurysm, and you nearly died. Was there a moment where you did realise the secret of the universe?
I get that asked quite often. Was it a cathartic, you know, did you have this seminal moment? And I didn't. I had a pork pie from my best mate.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
And same thing, isn't it?
It is, pretty much, yeah. And I didn't.
Bit of a swine in intensive care, though, smuggling pork pies.
You did it really well, dude. Yeah. I have to say. It is sobering. If I'm honest, now I said this to my kids, actually, about, because they were asking after the fact, and I just said, they said, "Were you frightened, Dad?" And I said, "Well," I genuinely wasn't, because I just thought, "Well, it's been what an amazing ride this has been," and that's how I left it. Thank the gods, whoever they are, I walked away with very little deficit, and that was the most important thing. You know, it wasn't cathartic. It wasn't. Because I just thought, well, I've had a great time. Thanks very much. If I need to check out now, I'd have to check out now. But
I love there's a story that I found that one of the BBC producers said that you're not aspirational in the way that Jamie and Nigella are.
Yeah, it's true. That. This was a very senior person. I just thought what we do, I think, to 95% of the British public is so aspirational.
Absolutely.
You know, and we never patronise the viewers, and we can be cheeky with each other, but people come on our programmes, we're guests in their house, they're guests in ours, and we treat them with that. You know, we don't know them, so we're not, you know, we don't take too much on. And I think, you know, as we've learnt, we try and pass that on to the viewers.
Well, we're conduits, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're conduits for people's stories, because we want to hear them, and so do the viewers, because that's what they watch the Biker Shows for. And that's about our friendship as well. They watch it for that, because we have a crack on with each other.
We try and make the shows what people want. I mean, it came apparent a couple of years ago that when we do a show where it's a linear journey, that people could do, people like that far more than when we're dotting around, say, the Asia show, where we were in Thailand 1 minute, Japan the next. I don't know, people somehow couldn't relate to that as well as, say, going around the Baltic or Route 66 or the Mediterranean trip. You know, I think a map helps, and we do listen to what people say.
It's that you said that quite a few times. You've said that in terms of recipes, you said that in terms of television, and you're watching and you're learning from your audience and your readers. But
because they're important to us.
Comes over is your freedom. It's that, and I would say that most people would aspire to have that sense that you have of just being out there, being so thrilled to meet people, and you don't feel like you're doing it because you've been produced in that way. It feels much freer.
No. Yeah. Well, we're genuinely enthusiastic human beings, you know, because we came from the arse end of nothing. And to have the opportunity to live your life as we do is incredibly, it's a privilege. And there's not a day goes by, and I know that I can speak for Dave on this, that there's not a day goes by that we don't give thanks for that, because we're incredibly lucky. I mean, look, it's not a bed of roses. It has its ups and downs, but fundamentally, we're incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
And I think one of the great things is we've always got each other. And you know, I know doing, when you were ill, I did a programme in Egypt on my own. It was a fine programme, but it was different. It didn't have that, you know, when I was cooking my falafel in the streets, I couldn't look round and go, hey, what do you think, you know? And it was just, there was something.
You forgot to put the egg in.
Yeah, no. There was something really missing, well, the egg. But no, it just works, really.
I think it's about, people love to watch genuine friendships. I think they'd love to watch genuine anything, and there's precious little of it about. Si, how are you going to spend your Christmas?
I spent it in Australia last year because my fiancé is Australian, so which was very hot, and I went for a swim, which was very odd, but very great. And this year, it's my turn to spend it in the UK with my boys, so my boys and my ex-wife. So we're all coming round to the cottage for Christmas.
And you cooking?
It's going to be a bit of a mix. So everybody brings something. Which it's the same. It's the same. It's exactly the same as when Dave was here. You know, it's just with that tradition. So all the kids bring something because they're all great cooks. And I think Jane's mum's coming down with a snow queen.
Brilliant.
That'll be quite good. Yeah.
Dave, you've got a Romanian wife. How Romanian is your Christmas?
This year, we'll be at a house in France in the Loire Valley. and the stepchildren, they're all grown up now with partners. So they're coming over with a partner. So there'll be six of us for Christmas dinner. But we'll have the Romanian Christmas on Christmas Eve. That's over to my wife. So we'll be having Mamaliga Polenta, which one of the recipes in this book. Trotters.
Get in.
And all sorts of Romanian fare Christmas Eve and the presents. And then I'll do my traditional Christmas with my turkey and all the trimmings and the crackers on Christmas Day.
Oh, I've got your pudding.
All right, who made this one?
Jane.
Excellent. Tell her I love her.
It's me mum's recipe.
Brilliant, brilliant. So that'll be, so we get the best of both worlds, and then I don't know, I might go away for New Year, but Christmas, you know, it'll be the first time we've all been together in that house in France, so the opportunity to dress the house, get the big wood burner going, and...
And will you have a turkey?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You've dithered off with geese and sirloins, but no, I've got to have my turkey. It's the stuffings and the trimmings I love. The bread sauce, the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, you know, Jane and I have been divorced now for about 7 years, and I mean, we're great mates. She said, oh, I'll just come down for Christmas. I went, yeah, all right, kid, yeah, no problem. She goes, we're having turkey. I goes, we're not having... I goes, I cannot believe we're doing this all over again. What? You say, okay, we're having turkey, you know, that's fine. And the kids are going, oh, I'm turkey, Dad, are we? I'm going, look, talk to your mother. What, Matt, what?
Turkey's great.
Nothing changes. That's what Christmas is all about. Yeah, have a really happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you too, Jilly.
Happy Christmas to you too, Jilly.
Thanks for listening to The Delicious Podcast. You can find the Hairy Bikers Turkey and Ham Casserole from their new book, One Pot Wonders, on their podcast page at deliciousmagazine.co.uk/stories/podcasts. And next week, I'll be celebrating Christmas with Rick Stein. I'll see you then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.